Welcome, everybody, to The Lonely TARDIS. I'm getting really good at making that nice pause there.
it raises up at the end. I like it.
This is your journey through Time Lords and space. Join us every week as we talk about... I'm really fluctuating my vocal cords this time. As we talk about Doctor Who, this week's episode, we talk about Flatline.
Is that what it was called? Flatline?
Flatline, yeah. And now, watching it, I thought it was going to be about somebody dying. Well, there was a lot of death in this, but it was also about flat 2D. So there's a lot of meanings behind this.
A double entendre.
A double Nintendo.
A double Nintendo, yep. Bayonetta available in stores tomorrow.
Yeah, essentially, yep. Because this podcast will be up hopefully tonight. Actually, will be up tonight. Stephen Strom. How are you, Stephen Strom?
I'm all right. I like this. I like that we've dropped the dead weight.
Yeah.
You kicked off Marcus and Sean. They're completely gone from the show from now on. They were just bringing us down.
I know, right? Jeez. I mean, you got a guy named Annoyed Gamer on Twitter, and you have a guy named Sean Norton. I mean,
Norton. Come on. Sean Borton.
More
right?
Like Sean. I was going to say antivirus, more like anti fun.
Yeah.
I was gonna
maybe try and take that down a couple other puns, like, you know, Sean Snorton, Marcus Tears, because he's making me cry all the time with his, like, just, I'm bored to tears, really.
Exactly, totally, yep. I'm Dolly Domofsky. I didn't say that earlier, but I probably should have. Marcus and Sean are not with us right now. Due to some scheduling issues, everybody's kind of all over the place this week. Very busy week before the holidays. However, we will have a bigger, double-sized episode on Monday. Until then, we are going to speak, Stephen and I, and we actually have a little special section with Sean later on after Stephen speaks. So neither of them will have heard what the other was talking about, so it's going to be very interesting to hear their thoughts on this episode. I'll jump in right away real quickly with what Marcus wanted to, just wanted to let people know that he really liked this episode. He thought it was very spooky. It's very classic Doctor Who. And he definitely felt Clara stole the show, which we will definitely, I'm going to say definitely one more time, definitely talk about. So, Flatline. Here's the plot of Flatline. Doctor and Clara are coming back from assuming what would be the Mummy on the Orient Express episode, and the TARDIS ends up losing energy. Something's sucking energy away from the TARDIS. So they land in Bristol, England, far away from where Clara needed to go to meet up with Danny. And they come to find out the TARDIS is actually shrinking on the outside. So as the TARDIS shrinks, and the Doctor's trying to figure out why, Clara is on a mission to do the same from the outside, outside the TARDIS. And so she comes across a gentleman by the name of Rigsy, who is a graffiti artist. He's performing community service. He's cleaning up some what looks like art of the backsides of people. It's all in relation to people that have been disappearing lately, and these murals are popping up. They come to find out that it's actually these monsters from a 2D dimension, or two-dimension dimension. The second dimension, not our fancy third dimension. And these monsters are killing people or doing some type of experiments on people. And so the whole episode goes by. Oh, what was that, Steven?
I was just saying, just generally a bummer. Just generally being a bummer around everyone else.
They're not good at parties, the 2D monsters, right?
No,
not at all. They love graphic novels. They probably appear in graphic novels quite often.
Right, but as we all know, everybody who reads graphic novels and comic books reads the funny books, as I like to call
exactly,
them.
Exactly.
They're just all shut-ins. They're not very good. Right. They're not very fun, just like these guys.
Yeah, they don't wear pants, just like these guys as well. So the monsters manage to break into the third dimension and chase Clara and Rigsy and a couple other folks through the London or the Bristol Underground subways and trains and all that. Clara discovers the whole purpose, why they're there, how to defeat them. The Doctor comes out at the last second. The TARDIS is saved, and he appears from the TARDIS like a white knight with this glowing light behind him, points the sonic screwdriver at these monsters and banishes them. The Boneless, they were called the Boneless at some point, banishes them to the nether regions of everything. And that was the kind of the end of the episode. There was definitely some things that happened afterwards, after this ginormous scene that we'll get into, but I wanted to dive right in and get your initial thoughts of this episode, Steven. Did you like it? Did you not like it? What was the mood coming out of the Strom household after this
episode? I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think it's easily the best episode of the season so mm-hmm. far. I think that is a theme among the men of the Lonely TARDIS. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us will probably be saying something similar. Yeah, it's just really good. I don't know what, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into, you know, as we talk about more about what the episode was about and everything like that. Mm. But yeah, I just top to bottom, very impressed, very happy with what we got this week, which is, you know, it was a low bar, to be right. honest. You know, right. We haven't really enjoyed many episodes this season so far, especially episodes that focus heavily on the Doctor, and it's not probably a huge surprise that one of the better episodes of the season is an episode that has almost no Doctor in it.
Right.
It is all Clara all the time throughout the episode. And yeah, I think that was a big part of why it was fun.
You know, I totally agree. I really enjoyed this episode, and the more I realized what was happening, which was very similar to Blink, my all-time favorite episode of Doctor Who, besides Girl in the Fireplace, but Blink, which was set in two different time periods, right? It was the Doctor and Martha are stuck in the past. This is David Tennant's Doctor, 10th Doctor. And they're communicating to someone in a different time period in the present to defeat these, you know, these aliens, these the angels. And in this episode, Flatline, the Doctor is stuck in the TARDIS, and he's doing essentially Adam's Family stuff to communicate with Clara to find out why the TARDIS is shrinking, what's drawing the energy, and where these monsters are coming from, and what they exactly are. So, this was a Clara episode, and I mentioned on Twitter after I watched the episode that I'm giving myself a giant pat on the back, and I'm going to point at you guys and say I told you so, because this is the episode that Clara basically becomes the Doctor, to the point where she announces herself as the Doctor to Rigsy and to a few of the other folks that she runs across. And Peter Capaldi's Doctor, the 12th Doctor, actually tells her at the end of the episode, you were a great Doctor.
You know, Deli, I think
thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, by the way. Thank you.
I think your old man brain might be turning to pudding here, because if I remember correctly, it was me who went and talked to Sean ahead of an episode that we did a while ago. I think it was Robot of Sherwood. Talked to him ahead of time about how David Tennant, had Capaldi been David Tennant, he would have acted in a completely different way. And that Clara was acting more and more like David Tennant, Matt Smith. And that as the episode went along, she might to be more and more like the Doctor, even leading up to the possibility of the two like being one, or like something, they're turning out to be something with Clara.
The yin and yang, as I've mentioned in the past, as we, you know what, as we've mentioned,
because I'm pretty sure if we reviewed the tape, it would have been my suggestion.
Listeners, get on this. Let us know. Tweet at us and leave a comment in the post. Let us know who's right-er, Dolly or Steve.
Yeah, who's more correct?
Who's more correct?
This is important. This matters.
But you know, most definitely, this was. The point where, I mean, we've seen this the whole season with Clara, you know, initially she's not comfortable around the Doctor because it's not her Doctor. And then he keeps asking her, is he a good person? He's kind of, and we've mentioned it, he's become a dick this whole season. Asshole. He's an ass to humans. And he, what did he call Rigsy? He's a pudding brain with a fluorescent jacket.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And he's been continually, you know, not aggressive, but negative towards the human race. And Clara's been the one that's been coming in and saying, you know, we're good. You have to be good. You used to be good. I'm going to be good because
you're going to be good to replace the good that
exactly,
you want.
Exactly. And her role this season has been phenomenal, way better than the Impossible Girl last season.
Plot divisible girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Okay.
Which was wiped away because she can't remember any of the.
Really? That.
I believe that's what Sean was saying. That she can't remember any of that stuff happening.
Sean is an encyclopedia of Doctor Who.
Yes, isn't he?
Trivia. It's bizarre.
Yep. But first and foremost, I love the. I mean. Furthermore, I love the monsters. They were great in this episode. I know they threw Rigsy in as the whole graffiti artist and knew right away that he was going to be used to kind of help defeat these beasts in some way. And he was by spray painting that door. But that moment where they were climbing out of the ground, they were going from 2D to 3D, they were evolving. I thought was absolutely brilliant because they looked like zombies coming out of, like, they looked like the undead emerging from that gravel. And then that big giant hand comes by and grabs it, dude, and throws them. And then even when they were doing the whole numbers thing, that spooky numbers thing, the communication, which you'd see from, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right? They mentioned that guy's number 22, and they keep, so the rest of the group are talking to this guy and he's standing there. So you figure, well, did they kill him somehow? And then the camera starts to shift a little bit and you realize that him in side view is actually kind of painted in 3D. Like those, I mentioned this to Sean, but those 3D paintings you see on the ground, right? That one artist does all the time.
Right. If you're looking at it from a certain angle, if you're looking at it from above, it would look like distorted. But if you're looking at it from a certain angle, it looks like the actual Mega Man or somebody.
Yep. So I enjoyed it, and as an artist, I loved just the whole idea, the symbolism that they were kind of piece by piece taking apart humans to. To study
dissect them. They were dissecting them and studying them to what end we do not know, which I think is absolutely fine. It's something that some of the best Doctor Who villains rely on when we don't know what their deal is. We don't know what the monster from Midnight's deal was, and that's one of probably the most terrifying monsters in Doctor Who history is the monster from Midnight.
Yep. Other things this episode. I love that the doctor was really excited why the TARDIS's energy was draining, and he turns to Clara and said, she said, aren't you supposed to know everything? And she's getting worried, and he says, he basically says, I'm paraphrasing, this is fun. I finally get to not know something. Let me enjoy this.
Right. It's the most dickish way you could have put it, which fits with Capaldi, but it was kind of like one of the first moments I've felt like a genuine sort of like, moment where I'm just like, okay, maybe Capaldi isn't, his version of the Doctor. Not that, again, I don't really place any of the blame on Capaldi in it because I think that his performance has been pretty great. You think he has encompassed the type of character that they want us to have really well. I just think that the type of character that they want us to have is not very good. But that, like, that was the one brief moment of this episode in the.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Sorry, we had lost you for a second there, Stephen.
I see. All right.
Okay. The angry Marcus came over and because he can't be with us, he sucked you through a loophole. I found the stuff with the TARDIS to be really interesting. The siege mode.
Yeah. I love the siege mode. I love that it existed.
Yeah.
I love the way it looked. I loved how it kind of played into the plot of the episode. But it was so often we get these, like, Clara walking in the TARDIS and, like, finding the book labeled Time War or something like that. And it's just like, okay, well, we know that there is some kind of secret here, but we're never, ever, ever going to get any kind of idea of what it means or, what that does for the fiction or anything like this. Like, the idea that the TARDIS has a siege mode is, like, just, it's a very straightforward but very nice, cool little...
Losing. There you go. Sorry, lost you again for a second there.
Well, fix your Google Hangouts, Dally.
Damn it, Google.
Yeah, damn it, Google. Why? I thought you were running a professional podcast here.
I'll stop playing Clicker Heroes. It's probably draining everything. But no, it reminded me of the Pandorica. Remember, the Pandorica was this big cube, it even looked a lot like it too. Yeah. So again, you're right. The idea that the TARDIS even has a siege mode is just, it's brilliant. It's awesome.
It's like finding out that the TARDIS is meant to be run by four people. You know, it might be just a plot device for that episode, but it fits in the fiction in a way that, like, feels appropriate. And like so often, it's something that Marcus loves to talk about. It's like so often Moffat stuff is just like, I'm making this up as I go along because I think it's appropriate, and not like, does it actually fit for the character? Like Jackass Doctor. Like, yeah. I don't think that necessarily fits what the, you know, the purpose of Doctor Who is precisely, but it was what Moffat wanted. Whereas this feels like something that could have existed with or without Moffat.
Definitely. I agree. Totally agree. Let's see what other things about this episode, and the big thing for me is that ending. And this was very divisive for people because, and the reason I say that is because, I was seeing tweets that, you know, the doctor tells Clara, hey, you know, you were a great doctor. But sometimes, you know, good isn't always, you know, isn't always the right way to resolve things. And so, I found that to be really interesting that this doctor again knows that being a good guy isn't always the right way to do everything. And you know, and he's been, like I said, he's been more willing to let people die along the way.
I don't know. I think you're maybe like, I definitely, that's not how I read that moment at all. How I read that moment was basically the doctor, like as the episode, you know, wears on, Clara points out that she's making like calculations as to who can live and who can die and trying to save as many people as she can. And then at the end, the doctor, and she's like, I was a good doctor. And she's like, the doctor says, you were the doctor. Today you were the doctor. Good had nothing to do with it. And it's like that's this judgmental like tone to it. And my impression from that was like basically him saying like, I don't want you to be like me because I'm a bad guy. Like I'm, you know, the way that I think is bad. And, you know, if you're sullying yourself by following in my footsteps, and if that is what like that moment was meant to encompass, I hated it. I just couldn't stand it. It was my least favorite part of the episode. I can explain why if you like.
But, yeah, please go ahead. That's why we're here.
Yeah, fair enough. Just basically like this, I just shut the fuck up. Basically like Dr. Capaldi, just shut
Dr.
up.
Dr. Capaldi. Dr.
Capaldi. Like, because it's like this idea that like, you know, he goes around and does it all the time and it's like, it's perfectly fine. And then like, yeah, but like, God forbid, like this other character that he has around him all the time act the way that he does. Like, not, you know, it's in the veneer of like him saying something like, I don't want you to turn bad, but he doesn't say it that way. He like, I don't want you to be like me because I don't want you to be bad, you know, to be the bad one. It's the way he says it is in this kind of like controlling kind of, I don't want you to be bad because that's not what you're for. And I really dislike that because it makes Capaldi seem like more of a jackass than usual even. But it also like has this impression, like this weird, sort of weird impression of like, that he feels like he, gets to decide what she, you know, what decisions she makes and what actions she takes for her, which we've kind of, it's been kind of the exact opposite throughout this entire episode. It's just this passive aggressive, angry little like whining moment. It just feels completely out of place for the episode, considering like how good everybody has been throughout the episode and how things have been going. I would have much preferred it if it had been something more like where, like, you know, if this had been Matt Smith or David Tennant or Matt Smith would have said something along the lines of like, now you see what it's like to be me every day. And it's just like, and it's not a good thing. Like, now you understand. And he would have tried to like empathize with the person rather than like whine about it. And I just really hated that.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, you know, the Doctor and Clara have been perfect for each other. This Doctor, the 12th Doctor, Dr. Capaldi, I don't think the show would work if either of them were any different. You know, like you said, if it's Tennant or Smith in this role as a doctor and Clara still being the same Clara she is now, it becomes far too goody-goody. It loses its power. But right now we really have this dark streak in the doctor that he's dealing with and Clara's dealing with, and their energy feeds off of each other extremely well. And we mentioned it right just before the pre-show. This has been, you know, this was supposed to be a monster of the week type of season, and there wasn't going to be this big giant this story arc or a series of story arcs, but there have been. This whole season has been one big plot, this one big story of the Doctor and Clara finding out who they are, how they work together, and what this all has to do with Missy, which at the very end of this episode, we see Missy, and it reconfirms some of the things that some of the ideas that I have, which I'm sure are going to be completely off when everything actually gets resolved.
As they always are.
As they always are.
Everyone who tries to predict these things.
Yep. Missy, we see the lady from the Promised Land, and she's looking at an iPad or some type of tablet computer, because, you know, in the future, iPads are still the norm.
Well, we don't know if she's from the future. You know, she's the leader of the Nether Sphere or whatever.
Yeah, the Promised Land, Nether Sphere.
Could be a Dino book. We don't know.
Exactly. So, right. It's a Kindle. In the future, it's all Kindles in this alternate universe. And she says something to the extent of, Clara, I chose you well.
God, you want to talk about things that I hated about the end of this episode? I hate that. Well, that I don't. Let me put it this way. I don't hate that moment. I don't hate that line. But boy, is it worrying.
Like, yes, thank you. That's the one thing. This could lead to some amazing stuff. Like, maybe this is this goes back to the whole idea of Clara. For some reason, this season, the TARDIS accepts Clara and almost welcomes her far more than she did in the past. Which I think that this lady is, Missy, is somehow tied to the TARDIS in a way. And almost the point where she may be a little bit jealous of Clara. I'm not sure, but we've got to be assuming that Missy was the one that initially called Clara way back in the day, right, with that phone call.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, so I chose you well. So yeah, we have three episodes left, and this could be fantastic. This could be utterly fantastic or utterly disappointing.
Right, like the season has definitely been picking up steam as it's been going
on. It's on a roll. It's on a roll.
Yeah, it's on a roll.
Last five episodes have been wonderful.
Yeah, but like, what really has me worried about the whole Missy line is it kind of feeds into that thing that I mentioned a couple episodes ago on the podcast. The idea of like this season is going to end with Clara becoming the new leader of the Nether Sphere, and if we take Missy, one way to take Missy's comment is to think like, well, Missy it's like a K and J from Men in Black type situation where like she has chosen Clara to be the new leader of the Nether Sphere, and then the season's going to end with like a Christmas special or something happening, or where Clara gets like trapped in the other dimension, in another dimension, where she has to be like the leader of this new place because Missy is given up the job, or you know, Lucifer has given up the keys to hell, and it's up to Clara to control it from now on. And that would be really, really much of a disappointment to me, because I think that Clara deserves better than to rush aside like so many of the companions often are. But also, it like even if that isn't the case, it raises the suspicion that they're just going to turn right around and turn Clara into a plot device again. And sure. They have done so much to erase that in the past that like I just cannot deal with it right now. Like the idea of, like, because she's gotten so good.
Yes. Remember last year when we did not like her? We thought, oh, this she's hollow, she's shallow, we don't know what she's here for.
And I'm afraid they're going to do that again.
I know. Clara. You're right, she's so fantastic this year. She is as great as Capaldi has been, I've almost had more fun watching Clara this season, except for, you know, Capaldi in moments. I think Clara has been so good this year. Especially these last four or five episodes since Robot of Sherwood, you know, it would be so bad.
It'd be terrible. And I'm more afraid now than I have been all season that that's going to happen.
Yep.
Especially when they're on such a roll right now.
All the way back to Robot of Sherwood and Listen, I think since then it's been, you know, one great episode after another. But
I don't know if I'd go that far. But
I do. I would.
I think we've had some. I think we've had some clunkers in there in the middle. Yeah. Like what? It was Robot of Sherwood, and then Listen, and then was it Time Heist after Listen?
I think so. And I love Time Heist.
See, I didn't like Listen so much. I really like Time Heist. And like I've stated my opinions on Listen. I think I overrated that episode at the time. I overrated every single episode.
That's right. We're fans.
Yeah, fair enough. I think Kill the Moon wasn't as good as it.
See, I love Kill the Moon. I thought there were huge issues with Kill the Moon, with the moon, but I overall love it. But I think there are far fewer issues with this, except for one little bit of continuity that I'm going to show you in a second. I'm going to post it in the, I already showed Sean, I'm going to post it in the notes, and you'll get a total kick out of this. And I don't think anybody picked up on it, but I had to turn my camera on so you could see this. So all throughout the episode, the Doctor looks like this, right? So this is the Doctor, good looking guy. Suave, great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I know where this is going. I noticed this too, actually.
And this is him with shorter hair when he emerges from the TARDIS to save the you know, to beat the alien and save the world. All of a sudden, he has shorter hair. And then it goes right back to him saying, thank you, Clara. And he's got long hair again. So there's a little bit of inconsistency.
I actually did totally notice that. I know exactly what you're talking about. My theory at the time, or I didn't even think there was a theory really at the time. I just kind of took it at face value. I just kind of assumed that that was like meant to be like, it wasn't exactly shorter, but it was like padded down or something because he'd been in there and it was clearly cold and he was like under some kind of duress. And I just kind of assumed it was meant to be some indication that he was under some stress in there or something sweating or something. But yeah,
it was definitely shorter hair. No, so what I think it was is that I think this episode was initially recorded differently, and they came back in and said, hey, we've got to fix this. There are some inconsistencies, and they re-edited it. This was part of a reshoot. So I think I'm wondering if that may have been it, because you don't see very many other shots of Clara or anybody else. You just see the Doctor kind of make a change, and I think they just reshot these scenes, and that was this is the issue that we're dealt with, is that you know, they may have to reshoot some things because, you know, something might have happened.
Maybe he'll have shorter, well, maybe we'll be watching an episode, one of the last few episodes here, and he'll have shorter hair because of some actual plot point, and it was like, oh, we had to go back and reshoot this scene.
That
is totally plausible. I will say another thing too, I think the shorter hair works. I think it's good.
Oh, I think it's better than The longer hair makes him seem a lot older, which it can help. But I like the shorter hair makes the Doctor seem more adventurous and more care and really puts more focus on the eyebrows too.
I think he just looks better. I'm not making any statements about like how this affects his visage as a performer. I think Capaldi looks good with short hair.
Sounds good. I agree with you. Hopefully you won't go down to the Fires of Pompeii short, but you never know. Hopefully. Wow. Yeah. I actually hope we get the chance to revisit that, at least the understanding of why he remembers faces and why he quote unquote chose this face. And
I honestly don't think the like, well, I remember this face is going to turn out to be anything. I think that was just a one-off line.
Okay.
I think that was just a throwaway. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but
whatever.
Like Doctor Who has made a habit of reusing actors in like,
Well, even the same episode, Fires of Pompeii, Karen Gillan was in there, yeah. So,
and they reference it, like they talk about like how Gwen of the future or whatever is the woman from the Charles Dickens episode in season one, and but they never make it like a big deal. It's not a plot point,
right? Really. Right. Anyways, anything else on this episode? Want to wrap up?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I think I'm ready to review it or to rate it.
What's your rating out of? Let's see. Out of Shrunken
Tart. Wait. Never mind. I feel like we talked about the ending, but I don't think we really actually talked about why I liked the episode at all.
Oh yeah, please tell us. I've been hoping that. I thought that was the whole reason you were speaking.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I talked about how much I like Clara and like what the you know, greater opinion about the episode was, but I'll wrap it up and say what I liked, and then I'll give my rating and we'll be done.
Okay.
Basically, I just thought that the monsters themselves were actually like super, super interesting. I thought they were like very well done, and well done in ways that Doctor Who doesn't typically do things well, which is to say the graphics. I thought these special effects of the monsters, were fantastic. Like in a way that I've never seen Doctor Who look before, because Doctor Who is traditionally not an ugly show, but it's not the biggest TV CGI budget in the history of to broadcast or anything. And this looked great. The monsters, like the effects on them looked amazing. Even like the goofier moments, like with the giant hand floating out of the sky, like, or whatever, even that seemed all right. Like, but especially the shambling sort of semi-controlled 3D, 2D hybrid monsters, was pretty good. But they were also just terrifying. I liked the idea that one thing that Doctor Who does well, something that I appreciate that it does, is that sometimes the villain isn't actually the villain, or sometimes there's a reason why the villain is doing the things that they do. They have a motivation beyond just being a monster. And it's a great thing because it like provides this like, well, you never know what the case really is. Like, you know, you look at Vincent and the Doctor is a great episode that's kind of like that. And
yep. One of my other favorites. Yeah.
The monster in that one is like insane, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's like, it wants to die and it's penitent for what it's doing, but it can't help itself. But same with the God Complex is very similar. Or Hyde from last season. Yeah. The monsters aren't monsters at all. Or Time Heist, the monsters aren't monsters at all. And then this episode plays with those expectations built by that, which is something that most shows don't do at all. And it plays with that expectation by saying, like, well, the Doctor's like, well, maybe they're good guys. Maybe, you know, maybe they're trying to communicate with us. Maybe they just want to understand us. Maybe they don't even know that they're hurting us. And then at the like, the big reveal is that, like, no, they're just fucking assholes.
These monsters are jerks.
Yeah, not only are they, like, intentionally hurting them, but they're, like, toying with them and sadistic and evil and stuff. And they never have a single spoken line. They never say anything, which, you know, is... It's such a Doctor Who-y type thing. Like, you know, like the Weeping Angels. Weeping Angels, some of the most effective villains Doctor Who's ever had.
Never say a word.
Except for that one guy.
Except for that one guy. And except when they're giant Statues of Liberty.
Yeah, the giant Statue of Liberty. I don't know. Oh, man. The giant Statue of Liberty. I'm not saying that the Weeping Angels have been good since, like, Flesh and Stone.
Yeah.
That I'm just saying, like, when they were first made, they were pretty cool.
But you know what, a great episode. This was the Doctor Who episode. From my vantage point, this is the first real Doctor Who episode that wowed me of the year, of the season, and made me think, this is the Doctor now. Up until now, I think I kept having Matt Smith in my rearview mirror because he was the first Doctor that I actually saw on television. But I had Matt Smith in my rearview mirror, and I kept wondering, you know, are we going to lose Peter Capaldi after this year? Or, you know, what? You never know what the plan's going to be. But he has firmly, I think this episode, to me, he firmly stepped in those shoes. And he kind of had his big coming out moment, you know, and one more thing moment, and beats these monsters to pulp.
It's interesting because, like, I think somebody on this episode has made the I can't remember if it was a friend of mine from outside of here or if it was one of you guys on here that said that this Doctor is basically just a composite of every Doctor.
Marcus says it, yeah.
This was I think this was definitely like the Christopher Eccleston moment, like him saying, like, this. I was immediately reminded me of, like, the anger of, like, of Christopher Eccleston's Ninth Doctor type thing, like, especially when he jumps out of the machine, or jumps out of the TARDIS, and he's like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you all back to your home dimension. Some of you might even be lucky enough to survive the trip. He's just, like, not even joking around about how he's just probably going to kill all these things because they don't deserve to live in his eyes at this moment, and he does it with this like flare and flash that is kind of reminiscent of the Gas Mask Children episode. I always forget the name. The Hollow Child, maybe.
Something like that. Yeah.
And where he's like, "You want moves? I'll show you some moves." And in that one, it's, you know, it's done in a more optimistic light because he's like saying like everybody lives. But in this case, it's like him literally like throwing out his like arms and saying like I'm going to kill you all.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? I don't know if I necessarily have seen enough to know if Marcus's theory that this Doctor is like going to be defined as being every Doctor is correct. If it is, if that is the, you know, if that is a philosophy that I can agree with, this is definitely the Christopher Eccleston moment. So,
and I wonder if he goes from there are 12 episodes this season, and
plus the
Christmas, but he's gone through 9 Doctors right now. You kind of think of it. Hopefully, we don't get Tennant and then Smith, and then we finally, the final episode, episode number 12 this season, we get the actual Peter Capaldi.
I never thought of that. Like, this is the 9th episode, is what you're saying?
This is the 9th episode, yeah.
And he was acting like the 9th Doctor?
Yep. Yep.
Man, I'm going to have to pay a lot more attention in the next 3 episodes and see how things go, because those are the Doctors I'm most familiar with.
Yep.
Interesting thoughts.
Paul McGann Doctor was last week, which is...
I don't know what was last week again.
Mummy and the Orient Express.
Mummy and the Orient Express. Okay, yeah. I don't know if any of us can say what Paul McGann Doctor is
right,
like.
Right. Except underused.
That's what we can say. Hey, yeah, you got
That's what we can say. All right, okay. What's your rating? Out of Shrunken TARDISes, what's your rating?
Despite the problems I have with the 2 last moments of the episode, like the whiny piece of shit that he acts like at the end, and the possibility that they might nerf Clara one more time, this is a 5 for me. Like, okay. This is easily the best episode of the season. Maybe I'm just like, maybe my bar is a little low, but you know, it's television. You know, it our opinions and our standards wane as the episode continues, and so
yep. 5, I think. 5. Good. I think each episode has topped itself of this season. And I'm only talking about the Lonely TARDIS podcast. Each one of our episodes has topped
itself. Right. But
also Doctor Who has been pretty good this year. No, I think each episode has topped itself, and it's gotten better and better. And I loved last episode, and I think this episode tops it. I'm going to give this a 5. This has definitely been my favorite episode since the 50th, and my favorite episode in the last, probably last 2 years. Except for the Wild West one. I actually like that Wild West.
Really?
Yeah.
You liked A Town Called Mercy?
Yes, exactly. A Town Called Mercy. I actually like that one. But
I like A Town Called Mercy too. A lot of people really hate that episode.
They hate it, but I thought it was. I thought there's like interesting ties to it. They had she had a full story, but
now all the assholes are gone from the show. We can talk about how much we like all the episodes.
Right? Yeah, because we're real fans.
The Idiot's Lantern, 5 out of 5 as well. Let me just retroactively review that one.
All right, Steven.
Oh, so good.
All right, well, right now, I had a chance to speak to Mr. Sean Norton, so I'm going to pipe in his section at this very moment. So, Steve, hold on the line for just 1 second. I'm going to pipe in Sean's, and then I will reconnect with you right after. And we're here with Sean. Sean couldn't join Marcus, Steven, and I, but you know, he's doing his best to actually make an appearance this week.
Somehow I'm the guy that shows up on time, yet ironically gets trapped in like this weird mirror dimension where you're all going to have to hear my message well after it's recorded.
It is kind of funny. You showed up on time before anybody else, and yet you're the one that's going to be singled out as completely separate from everyone else.
Yeah, awesome.
It's that timey-wimey thing.
This is the penalty you pay for, kids, when you're on time and you do your job. You get ostracized and cordoned off.
So as I was mentioning to you right before we started recording, and for those our wonderful listeners who just heard, I think we were kind of joking, it would be a pretty short episode because we all seem to really like this episode, Marcus especially. So I want to hear your thoughts, and I'll chime in with a couple things that I didn't tell Marcus and Steven. But tell me, I mean, initial thought, liked it, didn't like it?
Oh, come on, you know the answer to that.
Hated it.
No, with a fiery passion. It was the worst episode of New Who. It was fantastic. Mm. I mean, there was so much to love about it. Oh my god. It's funny because, ironically, this was a week I didn't get a chance to watch it a second time, and I always do that. I always try to do that before we record. I try to watch episodes twice and see if I missed anything and stuff like that. And I was really bummed out I didn't get to, as I thought about it, you know, before the show. But then I realized that so much of it stuck with me.
Right.
That it, you know, it'll be a pleasure when I do get to do that, which I may actually do after this. But, I can talk about this, you know, all night, because it was just so well done, and it was so powerful, you know, and it was just everything. This, I think, was a culmination, and I it's I think the timing is good because I think we're what into what 8 of 11 or 9 of 11 or 12, something like that. We're I think there's 3 episodes left.
3 or 4 episodes. I think we're in 8 of 12.
Okay. Yeah. And it's the culmination of pretty much everything we wanted, mm-hmm. I think, as Doctor to be and the season to be building to. Now, of course, granted, it's not the big finale. There's no
right
revelation of the plot, you know, overarching themes or anything like that, but they are so the characters are just so ingrained in their roles now. They are just so mm-hmm. they're firing on all cylinders and they are perfect. Like they have come full circle, I guess. You know, Capaldi's gotten completely comfortable and is just he just owns the role. He's been owning it, but now more than ever. And then the Clara stuff is paying off in dividends. Especially where she, you know, we're given an episode that could be, I guess, construed by some as Dr. Light, but in reality, you know, really isn't. It gives Capaldi a chance to do his acting chops solo, to let right. Jenna do sort of her thing.
It reminds so me. It reminds me of the very first time we saw the Weeping Angels, right? Because they were. Was it Blink? Is that what it was? Don't Blink. That first time where they're, you know, the Doctor and was it Martha at the time were in the past? Or, yeah, yes. They were in the past and everybody else was in the present. And they were like almost these two separate stories happening at the same time that completely tied into each other. And I felt this captured a lot of that feeling. And I'll get to something in a little bit that I don't think that anybody else picked up on, but that I thought was really interesting. But there were
hear about your
yeah. So I'm gonna let me gloat right now.
Yeah, gloat.
And
yeah.
So I mentioned it. For those who heard me gloating to Marcus and Steven, if Steven joins us, I'm gonna leave that up. Last week I said that Clara is the female doctor that we are kind of getting because she's the polar opposite to Capaldi, and she's extremely into good things and the good of the doctor and Capaldi is the kind of not negative, but he still called people the fluorescent pudding brain, right?
It was so good.
So good.
Patronizing so, Capaldi is yeah, the best.
Yeah, exactly. And so several times throughout this episode, Clara refers to herself as the doctor. She even introduces herself as the doctor. And our favorite, you know, our 12th doctor even says something to the extent initially, he's like, wait a minute, what you can't call yourself the doctor. And then at the end of the episode, he says, yes, you were the doctor, you know. So I like I said last week, and I've said it a couple times, but last week I was very adamant that Clara is the female doctor that we didn't see coming, but yet I saw coming. So that was my way to gloat a little bit. But I do think it was really interesting that this episode, you know, there's been that slow kind of build up, like you were saying, we've been building up to something, and this episode really, really showcased her. This was her story, not the doctor's story. This was her as a doctor. And then at the very end with Missy, we even hear her say, you know, I chose you well, Clara. You were the right choice. So, I mean, first of all, how awesome am I?
You're pretty awesome. And it's funny, we talked about this before we recorded, and I didn't remember what you were saying at the time. I didn't remember this theory. And now I realize that it was probably because it was around the time, and I could just be jumbling my timelines together, but Steven had done his nonsensical theory about what's going to happen when Clara and the mm-hmm. doctor and all this stuff. And I think I blocked out all of this talk because his theory was so ridiculous. But no, you deserve props. And I really, I agree. And I think it's spot on, mm-hmm. but I do think at the same time that, you know, she's more, I think they kind of telegraphed it early on when they said that she is his conscience.
Yeah, yes.
And she cares so he doesn't have to. Yep. So, you know, I don't know if she's necessarily, well, obviously by the end of the episode, she, you know, was a fantastic doctor. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just, they're really doing this great job of showing the parallels and, you know, at the same time, the opposites of this alien traveling with this down to earth, you know, compassionate human being, and how they kind of work off each other and the friction and the when it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, it's horrible kind of thing. Yep. And how she keeps him grounded and everything like that. But going back to what I said about being full circle, you know, by the end, we have our cantankerous old doctor basically saying, you know, to what's his face, the crappy, you know, silly douchey, you know, the guy who was in charge of all the people cleaning up the graffiti.
Yep.
And that dude was just callous, and he just is like, yeah, well, whatever, I'm alive. And the doctor's like, yeah, but people died, you know? And,
yeah, exactly.
And the guy's like, yeah, well, I'm alive. We're alive, so who cares? And the doctor's walks, you know, he walks away, and the doctor's like, you know, maybe this time, you know, the good people died.
Maybe the wrong people died.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the wrong people, yep. Not the good people, the wrong people. But, you know, I thought that was very interesting. I feel like that's the first time, yes. You know, he's hinted at it before that things are bothering him, and very early on he wanted to know if he was a good man and this, that, whatever. But I feel like it's the first time it's been so blatant that we've got hints at that doctor underneath that, you know, we saw so much of in the last three incarnations. But then, then, you know, Clara's sitting there, she wants her props, she wants her credit. And he tells her, you know, you were fantastic. You were a fantastic doctor. But don't, you know, simmer down here, because goodness had nothing to do with it.
Right, yeah.
Like, you don't have, you know, and he's clearly teaching her this lesson where this is my life. This is what I have to go through. These are the decisions I have to make. Yeah, it might seem like I'm a bad person. Yeah, it might seem like I'm callous or I don't care. But it's not easy, you know. And I think that ties in a lot with what he said. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago where, you know, there's always a choice, but it's not always a good or bad choice. Sometimes all the choices are bad and you have to choose anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, week after week, I feel like these things are starting to stack on, you know, these themes and these story elements are starting to stack on top of one another as these characters are kind of evolving and right in front of our eyes and growing and becoming, you know, these characters that we're falling in love with all over again. And that really stuck with me at the end. You know, because it is that full evolution of the character, right? And even though you get that glimpse and, oh, man, maybe he's, you know, turning the corner and stuff here, right back at the end, he's like, don't you confuse this with, you know, being good or whatever. Just like last week or the week before, he was like, she's like, oh, you got that goodness underneath, right? And he's like, is it easier for you if I say that? You know, do you want me to pretend that? So it's just thematically brilliant. And
right.
I don't know how our colleagues will feel about me saying this, but I think there's just been so much good now that we kind of have to really scale back again until we're given a reason to. Otherwise, we have to really scale back on the criticism that the writing on the show is just completely shot, because this season has redeemed so much. Mm-hmm. And it's like I said last week, you know, Marcus has his opinions that, you know, if it's not a Moffat Penn story by himself, then blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, he's running the show. You know, he's plotting everything out. He's bringing all these scripts in. He's editing them. He's tweaking them. He's doing all this stuff. He deserves credit.
Yeah, and there were a couple shaky episodes. At least we thought they were shaky a little bit early on.
Sure.
There's been some fantastic momentum. These last four episodes, especially for me, five episodes all the way back to Listen, have been great. I've loved every single one. You know, there's like you're saying, there's so much good in Doctor Who right now, and he's taking a little bit of every doctor, and I'm sure Marcus will be able to nail it for this episode of which doctor he's pulling from, but maybe a little bit of Tennant in here, who knows. But there was, you know, there's been a gradual strong build up, and it's like when you have your favorite sports team is on a roll, and they're making their way to the playoffs right now, right? They're almost there. They have a couple more games to go. Just when you thought they were down and out, they're on this winning streak, and they're on this incredible winning streak. And right now, Doctor Who is on this winning streak. Doctor Who's the Kansas City Royals, right? They snuck in at the last second to the playoffs, and now they're charging through, and they've swept their way to the World Series. So You know, I kind of get that feeling, you know, from every episode has topped the last one in terms of fun, in terms of value and character development. And I know there's folks out there who have, you know, there's articles out there that have kind of talked to, you know, we're glad there's no giant big story arc that's tying everything together. I say bullshit to that because there is definitely, in fact, this season, more than any of the Matt Smith and dare I say David Tennant seasons, this season has been, every episode has been linked, and it's been the development of this doctor and everything around. And I think the Missy stuff has been sprinkles and a cherry on top of what was already a really strong tie of the doctor and his relationship to Clara. It's been a super strong arc. And yeah, you can single out a couple episodes that maybe aren't necessary, so to speak, but when you watch them all, they're all very well tied together.
Oh yeah, and it's funny you say shaky episodes, because I feel like there's no episode this season, mm-hmm. and I could be misremembering here, that we all agree we don't like.
Right.
Like, Listen, I think you and I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, stuff before or after Sherwood and all that. But there's nothing that we as a group consensus agree was bad.
Right.
Now, if you go back to Matt Smith, particularly at his end, oh, God.
Yeah.
And, you know, throughout his run, there were, you know, unanimously bad episodes. Yes. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just wanted to mention that.
Do you think part of that has to do with expectation? Because we had huge expectations for Doctor Who this season. And I think for some of us, maybe some of those expectations were met. Some of them, for some of us, they were definitely not met. Like Marcus made it very clear that he wasn't getting the expectations met that he wanted coming off that terrific, just the whole 50th anniversary. And then some of us, maybe like me, just had rose-tinted glasses. And I don't mean rose, because I hated rose, but had rose-tinted glasses. Those first few episodes of the season, I was looking for the good things. And I don't want to say I forced myself to like stuff, but in looking back now, I definitely, seeing the overall arc, I definitely like, you know, like things for a certain reason. So
no, and that's, and I see, I do agree that we had expectations that were really high, but at the same time, I think there was some sense of that being grounded, because we were so afraid of Moffat being in charge, and that's a theme that's permeated all of our episodes in one way or another, not unlike a certain time traveling doctor, but we say that almost every week, is that, you know, we're cautiously optimistic. We're cautiously optimistic. Whatever. And I'll say it again this week. The only thing that caught my eye and made me really worried, and we can go into this in a minute, is the ending. But before that, I think your rose tinted glasses comment kind of loses.
Okay.
Pretty much. I don't think it applies anymore, because at this point,
not anymore.
Sure. But I mean, like, by 8 or 9 episodes in, they would have fallen off in my opinion, if it was a rose tinted glasses situation.
Yes.
I don't think so. I think we wanted this to succeed. We wanted it to be different. We wanted Capaldi to knock it out of the park. And, you know, there was some trepidation in the beginning, but again, some of us more than others. I've either liked or loved everything. I don't think everybody else has, but that's fine. But there's nothing been outright bad. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you were saying, it's just been this steady buildup to pretty much nonstop brilliance, right? Like, it's been like, okay, good, great. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to the point where my faith for the moment is completely restored. Like, I just hope they keep it up. Mm-hmm. And I just hope nothing, you know, there are no missteps or balls dropped or anything like that, because I think they're on a roll. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and I posited this on Twitter, this could arguably be, and I don't know if you want to do it by like whole season or just by chunks of episodes. It's probably easier to go by whole season.
Yeah.
But if all is said and done, if they maintain this momentum, this could arguably be the best uninterrupted episodes, like the best run of Who
of the new Who. Exactly.
Since 2005.
Yep.
And you know, that's got its stiff competition with, you know, the David Tennant, Catherine Tate season, you know, mm-hmm. Dr. Donna, mm-hmm. which I think is what people, you know, also keep on a pretty high pedestal. But, I mean, this season has just been, it's just gone from pretty good to phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope they keep that up. Two other things I want to touch on, because I'm sure I'm taking up a ton of time. this was the first episode possibly ever, definitely since, like, you know, the Weeping Angels and stuff, mm-hmm. where I was genuinely creeped out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Genuinely creeped out. Like, you mentioned the Weeping Angels. What did he call them? The Boneless, right, by the end?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I dubbed thee the Boneless or whatever. Yeah.
What a brilliantly realized villain. and genuinely terrifying. Like, yeah. Like stalking the protagonist, like going, like it went from like, the episode went from like a murder mystery to a horror story, yeah. and like a survival story. And it was fantastic. like to go from, oh, they're trying to, maybe they're studying us and oh, you know, they're in yeah. the walls, the whole, and to, okay, they've put a human nervous system on the wall.
Which is bizarre.
To, okay, now they're, well, but think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about it in the context where when we first saw that scene, the theory was that they might have been studying us. Mm-hmm. Think about it by the end, knowing that they weren't.
Right, right.
They threw that body's nervous system on the wall. We saw that woman get sucked down into the second dimension, by the way. They yeah. threw her nervous system on the wall because they could.
Because they, like, could do it, yeah, yeah.
And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But the moment that really got me was when they figured out their physical form, and they're all sitting there in the subway tunnel.
Oh, I guess, man. I guess. Coming out of the ground was incredible. What a well-created scene that was. With the yes, hands and the brilliant. Fingers just... But, oh.
How about when the giant, like, when they're like, the what do we do next? And the giant hand comes out and grabs him and pulls him away.
Yep.
Like, it literally, I jumped because I didn't expect it, because right. who never makes sure. me jump? It doesn't do horror great, you know? And it genuinely got me looking. And then they were, you know, he's like, oh, they're using people as, what did he say? He's basically said they're using people's bodies as yeah. a sort of, I guess, costume or something. But it was so creepy. And then the speech at the end, where he's like, look, I want you to remember. Oh, actually, wait. So before that, we also have the creepy thing in the room where they're trying to communicate with math.
Yes. Oh, man. Two.
What a standout scene that was.
Oh,
and then not only did they mention who they killed and who they're killing next.
And the best, I loved where they're talking to the dude and you're like, why? He's not saying anything. So he's clearly, something's happening to him, but he's standing in front of boxes. Oh. And then the screen shifts a little bit and you realize it's actually one of those 3D floor paintings that you see all the time, that you can only look at it from one certain angle and it looks like it's in 3D. And that's what they were doing. Whoever these beasts were, the boneless, they're fantastic artists. Like, I definitely have to say that. So
yeah. And it just was so well done. And, you know, credit again to the writer, who I think maybe might be the same as last week or might be new. I've lost track,
yeah,
but
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Please come back. like, please come back. And I haven't said this in a long time. Bring these villains back. Because mm-hmm. they're genuinely terrible.
They remind me of the Silence in the Library, right?
The Bastion Arata,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Bastion Arata, yeah.
Like, they're genuinely terrifying. They're super interesting. I think you can do great work with them, mm-hmm. especially if, you know, they're banished back to their dimension and then now they have a vendetta. You know, first it was an invasion or whatever. Oh, my God. Oh. This was just top to bottom fantastic. Fantastic mm-hmm. Who, fantastic villains. And then we finally, I've been waiting, I don't know about you, but I've been waiting a long time. We finally have that moment where Capaldi makes his speech.
Yes.
Or, you know, yeah. declaration or some sort of grandstanding gesture. And it was awesome. It was awesome because it wasn't like,
yeah,
it wasn't really about him until the very end, but it started off basically saying, look, I just want you to remember we tried.
Yes.
Okay. We tried to reason with you. We tried to figure you out. We tried to help you. But you're monsters. You are.
And he calls them monsters. He says, you are monsters.
And I don't know if you're trying to invade or take over or whatever, but this dimension is protected.
Yes.
And when I send you back, I want you to remember, I'm the doctor. This is what I do.
It was his. It was. finally,
I think I need a cigarette.
This was the coming out party. That was the moment. That was the and one more thing, Steve Jobs style moment that I was completely. I was fist pumping. So I watched this. I didn't get a chance to watch it Saturday. We had friends over. It's Sunday. There was football. And we had a lot of things going on. I actually didn't get a chance to watch this yesterday, Monday. So I watched part of it last night, and I kind of fell asleep because I was just super tired. It was late. And I thought, okay, I'm going to watch it from the beginning today. So I watched half of it last night, and I thought I'm going to watch the whole thing today. So I sat at lunchtime and streamed it through maybe the only thing that Comcast is good for is streaming stuff that's sure. out there onto my phone, and watched the whole thing. And that moment, I was fist pumping in the air because that was – this is the Doctor. He was a literal badass in that moment. Like – that was the coming up part. That's almost like the – that's the scene I would have loved to see in the very first episode, I guess, just because you didn't see it. And we haven't really had it now up until now.
Sure.
I think – well, let me just close my thought process for this was the Doctor asked Clara a couple times, am I a good man? What's he – because he didn't know who he was. I think this is the moment the Doctor now knows who he is. He's the protector of this – quote-unquote, the protector of this realm. He can be a jerk if it means to be a jerk, but he's starting to understand good and bad and, you know, the ramifications of this, of his decisions. But I think being trapped in this ever-shrinking TARDIS and being very close to death himself, because the life support system's shut down, I think it finally clicked. And Clara, being the Doctor... I think he learned more from her being the Doctor than she learned from him, obviously. And he, like I said, he even told her at the end that you were great or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's not, I wouldn't expect or even want a sort of, you know, a different tone to him now that it's out there and now that he's made his speech. Mm-hmm. And I think the way the ending was shot, I think that kind of confirms that's not what we're getting.
Right.
Yeah. But I also think that if we keep getting, like, you know, hints at the character and the evolution of the character like that, then there's definitely, you know, this, I think there's more story to be found there. And that I think they have a lot that they could go with for the reason why he is the way he is. You know, like you said, you wanted it more in the first episode, but I'm kind of glad we waited. I think it had a much better impact now than it would have in the very beginning. And I think they were going for more of the smoldering, like, deep thinking, like, I mean, think back to that. He did have a great scene.
Yeah.
Because if you think back to when he was at the table, he's like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to kill you, and I wanted to offer you a drink first.
Yes, that's true, right?
And that's the kind of Doctor he is. Yeah. That's the kind of Doctor we got. You know, he's not all about the bravado and everything like that. But there's also reasons he could be the way he is. Mm-hmm. Like, again, with one of his first, you know, speeches to Clara, I've lived for over 2,000 years. I've made mistakes. You know, it's time I did something about it. Who knows what's haunting him, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows if it's, you know, I think they've closed
what the happened on Trenzalore. I don't know what happened on Trenzalore.
Trenzalore. I mean, 900 years or whatever is a long time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I think that there's a lot to explore there if they want to go down that route. Or, you know, they have an easy out, which I think Marcus and I have talked about before, very Tom Baker. Like, he's an alien. Mm-hmm. And this new personality of his is more Gallifrey than it is, you know, human relatable. And
they
that's
do
fun.
Bring up they do bring up that he's an alien this episode, right? Because the I forget the young guy's name that's been that helps him the whole time. He asks, "Are you both aliens?" And she says, "No. Well, I'm not, but he definitely is, or to something to that extent." So it's they haven't really said it. They didn't say it too much during Matt Smith's time, but they're really kind of, and we've mentioned it before, the Doctor. Maybe up until this episode, but the Doctor almost didn't care for death, for human death, if there was a greater good involved. Whereas previous iterations of the Doctor were like Superman and nobody could die. Everyone had to survive, you know. So, but I did want to bring up a couple of things really quickly. One at the very beginning, and this was a joke, but I think it was a fantastic. It was a one-liner, but it was a fantastic comment on the whole series, this season so far. And that was when the Doctor and Clara, they're still on the in the TARDIS, And Clara's, you know, telling him, you know, trying to find out why the door is smaller, why things are shrinking. And she says something to the, you know, she I forget what she says, but, you know, she says, aren't you supposed to know everything? And he says, Clara, for once, let me enjoy it. For once, I don't know something. Let me enjoy it. In this whole season, he has not admitted that he doesn't know something. He's always been, again, like I said, he's been trying to figure everything out. And this was the first time that he didn't have a lead on what was going on. And Clara actually helped resolve this rather than him this time. So I love that note, that point. So, you know, that, I thought that was brilliantly put. The second thing, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to turn my camera on. And what I'll do is for
lucky me,
our viewers, or our listeners, I should say, make sure you rewatch this episode if you have it on DVR or whatever, take note of this, because you'll only see this. It happens towards the very end of the episode. At least this is when I noticed it. I might have to actually go back and rewatch it to pick up on this.
You have my interest.
Yes.
Sir.
So I'm the intrigued. Doctor, when he's giving his speech, can you see me, Sean? You can see my face.
I sure can.
When the doctor's giving his speech to the Boneless, so he's in the TARDIS right now. Everything is kind of freezing, and he steps out of the TARDIS. And I don't think that, I think this was a big goof on the part of the BBC in doing this. This is one of those inconsistencies that only people who are sharp-eyed will actually realize. And I think it has nothing to do with the plot of the show or anything, but. This is what the doctor looks like when he steps out of, when he's in the TARDIS, when life support's going down and he steps out.
Yeah.
Look at his hair, right? So he's got some nice short hair. Everything's looking good.
Yeah.
A minute later, when he steps out of the TARDIS, this is his hair. He's got his long locks, the longer locks that only take place. So, I think what happened was that, they filmed certain parts of this episode earlier in the season and other parts later on, because he's got an inch and a half of hair growth in between the episodes. So either they definitely filmed this in two separate parts before you know, throughout,
it's possible.
Throughout the
season. You should post those on our website and behind a link that basically tells people to click when they get to a certain part. But that said, I don't know. I mean, you're probably right. It's probably just a production, you know,
a snafu.
We'll have to ask Marcus. I don't know if they film stuff out of order, like, you know, movies do. I was under the impression that they film episodes in chunks, like episode at a time. That said, you know, if they needed to do reshoots or something,
I think this was a reshoot. I think maybe I almost wonder if this reshoot was a reaction to. The way things are being viewed earlier in the season, because this reshoot would have taken place right at the beginning of the season, so they can get it edited in time. So I wonder if they took to heart that this doctor hadn't, at least those first couple episodes, people were a little bit harsher on him because he hadn't figured out who he was, he hadn't had that spectacular moment, and the moment was here, and in this moment he had shorter hair. It looked like he was much more well groomed. So yeah, I almost wonder if this was the reshoot, that the moment of him, emerging from the TARDIS and his with the light and the doves flying behind him. So I'll post these on the site behind the link. So if people want to take a look and post some crazy theories in the comments, feel free to do so. Feel free. So rating out of 5 boneless chicken wings.
I'm gonna give it a 5.
Okay.
But with an asterisk, because, and I didn't get to touch on this, and maybe you guys will, the very ending scene makes me very nervous.
Sure.
Very nervous. And I think I tweeted as much right after the episode. I was so excited. I just was like, I was just going off on this episode. Yeah. It was so good.
The Clara Missy thing, right?
But it makes me very nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, because now we're getting right back on that road of her being very important, and, you know, to the point where she's been picked supposedly by whoever this Missy character is. So I don't know. I just think that, you know, my cautious optimism is, you know, my radar is kind of pinging here, right? Like,
so
I keep thinking about that time stream.
I want to bring something to you, and I'll have talked about this with Marcus and Stephen and everyone else.
Sure. Timey-wimey.
I wonder if Missy is a some type of reincarnation or another humanization of the TARDIS, in that the last time the TARDIS became human, she was the Doctor's wife, and you know, there was definitely that connection there. Over the last season, we've seen the TARDIS really warm up to Clara, and I think it was you that even made the point last week or the week before, where we've been seeing, you know, the TARDIS used to completely dislike Clara last year. And this season, the TARDIS loves Clara. It's as if she's been chosen or really good friends with her, because she's able to utilize the TARDIS really well. So whoever this Missy is, whether she is a version of the TARDIS or the Valyard, which is another aspect of something that might be floating around, something's happened. Something's been tuned where they're using, where someone is using Clara to, you know, to their advantage, to the Doctor. So I let that sink in. I wonder what your thoughts are going to be once we get this. I do think we're going to get the big answer at the end that we've been waiting for.
Oh, for sure. I will let that sink in. All I'll say is that somebody gave her the number in the shop.
Yeah.
So we know, we're pretty confident. I think we're at like 90% certainty that was Missy.
Yes.
So I don't know. Your part of the series is interesting, but the only thing, all right, so I'm going to put up a spoiler warning here.
Yep, spoiler.
Because this has been speculated, and apparently, is that the spoiler sound?
It is now.
So is that our version of the cloister bell? So anyway, I think this has been brought up. I mean, I've read it all over, but I believe it may have been mentioned in Doctor Who magazine. That said, still a spoiler for what's to come, potentially. So if those of you who don't want to hear this, just I'm going to go silent for 3 seconds before I bring it up.
There are three episodes left, by the way. So just
I've been told that's not true. I've read that she's an original character.
Okay.
So that rules out. Of course, Moffat lies, right?
Yeah.
But apparently he said in Doctor Who magazine she's an original character. So rules out Master, rules out Valyard, rules out TARDIS, rules out everything except the all-new Nemesis.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, again, if the payoff is good, I don't care if it's not the Master reincarnated. I don't care if it's not, you know, the Ronnie. I'm fine with all of that. Mm-hmm. Would I like to see those characters return? Yes. But I think that this show is more than capable and deserving of really powerful original villains as well.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make me any less nervous about what she's going to wind up being.
That's right, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I actually would love a sort of 180 where she actually winds up being good, and there's a whole other bad that she's been prepping for, and she needs his help. And that's revealed in like the last two episodes.
And that's why I think that's collecting nice this army of people.
Sure, and she's actually a good person in the Nether Realm, and you know, then you have like, I don't know, a Master trapped between dimensions or some other supervillain that's ready to wage war. But I don't think that's going to happen. But you know, I would be fine with that kind of twist. But I don't know. I really like that. I have no idea. Like I genuinely have no idea how this season is going to end and who she's going to turn out to be. And I love that as much as it scares me. So mixed emotions there. But anyway, sorry, because I'm rambling so long. I love this.
We had a lot. Great conversation.
It went
five out of five boneless.
With the asterisk that I may reduce my score if the payoff of Clara is shitty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
understood. All right. Well, Sean, thank you for taking the time. I'm sure the guys miss not being able to chat with you, but we'll get together again. We'll figure it out next week sometime too. So
sweet Stephen Stormy tones. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully next week is better.
Yeah.
Every day.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that was Sean's statement, his thoughts. What'd you think? Great stuff from Sean, right?
Oh, yeah. Sean, you know, I will let me tell you right now, what I just heard from Sean in these last 5 minutes is pretty much exactly what I always hear from Sean. of the same quality, of the same length, and, you know, just energy especially.
Energy, oh. Yes. I definitely felt energy. I thought, yeah, good. All right. So with that said, please rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends to rate and review us on iTunes. It definitely helps. I want the Lonely TARDIS to be in the top. I want the Lonely TARDIS to be the number one Doctor Who podcast on the planet, but that may take a little bit of while, a little bit of time. This wine is starting to get to me right now.
Just on the planet, huh? You think too small, Domofsky.
You know what? You're right. Let's start with the planet, but we got to get through all of time and space. Yeah. So please rate and review us. It's the only way we'll get up there. This weekend after this upcoming episode, which is was it Night in the Forest? In the Forest of the Night. After this episode, I'm gonna have a little bit of a giveaway. As Steven has amazing music back there.
Yeah, it's pretty soothing.
It's quite soothing. So stay tuned. Stick tuned to that. But
stick tuned to that. Jelly, it's time you ended this podcast.
Find us at www.lonelytardis.com, on Twitter at LonelyTardis. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. You can find at Sean Norton. And yep, you can find Sean at Sean Norton.
At Sean Norton.
You can find Marcus at Annoyed Gamer. Where can we find you, Steven?
You can find me on Twitter as Steven Strom, at Steven Strom, StevenStrom. I gotta also just hawk my wares as I always
plug,
do.
Plug.
My review for Bayonetta 2 just went live on Ars Technica today. It's got a ton of positive feedback and a ton of just feedback in general, just tons of comments, which I'm not super used to. Really like the game, but you can go read it on Ars Technica. I also have a review of Civilization Beyond Earth going up there pretty soon. I finished writing it last night and should be up any moment. Both games come out on this Friday. That doesn't matter because I don't work for either company. But on top of that, you can always find me at Red Bull Esports, where I write about Dota 2, professional Dota 2, every week. So you can go read my columns and my features and my ideas over there. So,
well met. Well met. All right, everybody.
I don't think that's what that means.
Good game. Good game.
Good game. Yeah, good game. You know, well played, everyone.
All right, with that.
Salutations.
Sally eyebrows.
Purple.
Double Nintendo. Ooh.
I can't remember the Zelda theme. These are the voyages of Starship Enterprise.
Of the Starship TARDIS.
That's right, right? That's the show we're talking about?
Goodbye,
everybody. Right. Bye.